What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're coming at you post-practice, post-open practice.
That was a fun time.
Get at us on Twitter, at Locked On Clips, if any of you were there. It was a great time.
Yeah, good to see the guys running.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be kicking things off with a season preview for Jerome Robinson.
Oof.
If you haven't caught these season previews yet, they're wonderful. We're doing one a day leading up to the regular season.
Sometimes some have two. Go listen to our past episodes.
Let's not get too deep into specifics. So you know I'm excited for this Jerome Robinson preview.
Yes, you are.
If I'm the only one, feel free to fast forward, but you're going to be missing out. Next up, we will be talking about open practice. There's some, I don't know, it's really hard for me to glean what to take away from this, but there was a couple things,
some large things. We'll get into it all later.
For sure. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with our daily segment, Shavings, where we just kind of kick around the old Clippers drawer, see what's going on in there.
This one is a city edition because we've got some new city jerseys.
That's right. So stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
So this season preview, I would say, is one that is close to my co-host's heart.
Yeah.
We are previewing Jerome Robinson's 1920 season.
I'm the captain, the mayor, the chancellor.
You might be the judge. You might be the sole inhabitant of Jerome Robinson Island. I said last episode that I was slowly paddling my boat that way. Okay, let's should we talk about his preseason stats?
Yeah, might as well.
All right, so here's what he's working with in the preseason. 9 points, 3.5 boards, 4.3 assists.
All right.
On splits of 33 from the field, 28 from three, 81 from the free throw line in 23 minutes per game. I like that you're laughing because you know that it's going to be very hard to give a positive outlook. No disrespect to Jerome. I like Jerome.
Look, man.
What do we see happening this regular season? Can we take anything away from this preseason?
I mean, he's not going to play 23 minutes, but
no.
9, 6, and 4, you know, you're not mad at it. Here's
9, 3.5, and 4, not 6 and 4.
I mean, you round up.
Okay.
No, in all seriousness, though, there's still a lot that I like from Jerome.
Yeah.
Doc hinted at it. He said that he doesn't think his offense has been anywhere near what he's capable of, especially the shooting.
I just thought of a point to help you out.
Yeah, what do you got?
If people aren't worried about Landry Shamet's shooting in the preseason, you can't be worried about Jerome's.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
That seems fair.
For sure. And Jerome, for the most part, his 3-point shooting fluctuated a little bit in college.
Yeah.
Like it went down his sophomore year and then went back up. So I do think that we'll see a bounce back, hopefully,
He was in the 40s in his senior year, right?
Yeah, 40. He was 41%.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
You like that?
That's really, really solid. And then you could probably print this on my tombstone. He's great in the playoffs.
He was fantastic in the playoffs.
He played really well.
To be fair, his high was like 7 points.
His high was like 7 points. But
it was a good seven.
On splits of 35, 50, 100, he was perfect from the line. Okay. I think in, I don't know, 11 attempts maybe?
I mean, I like the 50. The 35 is still a little concerning.
Yeah, the 35 is very
That's
concerning.
Andre Roberson numbers.
But he has, I don't know, he's put on some mass.
He also did things in the preseason. He was having a tough game. I believe it was Shanghai, I think it was Shanghai. Shots weren't falling, but he contributed in pretty much every other way possible. So he's shown that he can make adjustments.
For
which
sure.
I think is a huge thing that maybe people are overlooking when they rate Jerome.
Definitely. And he is still very much a raw prospect. And I do think that we knew that coming in. I can understand. I mean, I guess I can understand some of, whether you want to say like the disappointment or the maybe not meeting expectations.
Yeah.
When you look at like his draft position. But I think that that's a little bit of a tricky, you're treading in tricky water there for me for a couple of different reasons. Shea is like a steal of a talent at that low in the draft.
Absolutely. That's a thing that I think, yeah, that's an unfair thing for Jerome too.
Yeah, I think if it was redrafted, there's no way that he falls as low as to us.
He goes top five.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, like Landry obviously drafted later.
Yeah, very good point.
Once again, kind of a freak anomaly.
Yeah, Yeah.
So, you know, it's not an exact science. But that being said, I still think that it is indicative of, you know, there was interest in him from other teams. I still think that worst case scenario, this is my worst case scenario.
Okay,
for
this
Robinson.
Is his floor for this year or overall?
This is my overall floor for his time with the Clippers.
Okay.
I think that he can give you a solid 6 minutes.
Okay.
For an above average team. So
got it.
You aggregate.
I mean,
that
a contender. I would say more than above average team, a legitimate contender.
Yes, I think that he could give you 6 minutes.
Okay.
And not be a negative on the court.
All right.
And this is the floor. This is the floor.
That's
this
the
is,
floor.
I think that he could. I think that he could crack a rotation and be a net neutral, like while he is with the Clippers.
Yeah. Minimum.
Yes, if he's able to like, if he's able to get that, yeah.
Because Doc made a good point in that presser. Of his first year was kind of a roller coaster in terms of time. He got hurt, you know, he went up and down. And Doc said, he goes, someone asked, like, did that hinder his progress? And I think Doc said, well, I don't see how it could help it.
Yeah.
Which
for
is,
sure.
He's had kind of an up and down situation. There was a guard log jam last year.
Yes.
For the Clippers. If you're new to the team, there just was. Might not seem like it now, but last year there was. I mean, my biggest thing that I like to see from him, I've already said it, is that he can contribute in other ways.
Yeah.
Which I hate to say it, but I think he's going to continue have to figure out how to do that, especially with maybe some younger guys, particularly Terrence Mann, showing that they could maybe also play guard comparably other than the off-ball defense, which Jerome has an edge in.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think during the regular season last year, in his limited amount of games, I can't remember even what the total was. He had 33 appearances.
Yeah, it was not a lot.
It was not a lot.
And they were mostly disappointing from a casual fan's perspective.
Yeah, so from an offensive thing, last year he definitely started very cold.
Yes.
And, I mean, fair for that to be a reason of concern for you. But
when he's built as a shooter, because he was also built up as this, as almost like a sharp shooter in college.
I mean, yes, definitely.
Which isn't his fault.
No, I think the sort of preseason hype machine, as it tends to do, we were kind of thought we were looking at like a Landry Shamet kind of character, like a knockdown, catch and shoot guy.
A lot of people say that's one of the things people cling to who are anti-Jerome. They say, well, Shamet does everything that Jerome was supposed to do. And it's like, but does he? Because I think Jerome has a higher defensive upside.
I do too. And he actually, during the regular season, according to the advanced analytics on Basketball Reference,
whoa, nerd alert. Show us a graph.
He. Okay. All right. I got a real hooper over here. He committed, like, he contributed more defensive win shares than he did offensive ones, which, if you look at his shooting splits and everything, that's not that unfathomable. I mean, he was 40% from the field, 32% from three, 67% of the line. So
he was hurt.
He was
hurt. That's the thing, is that, like, those are. I know they're not the best. Those are injury ass sounding percentages. And I mean that in a nice way.
Yeah.
Guy who shoots 41% in college and then shoots 60 whatever percent from the free throw line, there's something going on hurt wise.
Well, he was a terrible free throw shooter in college his freshman year, which also, like, maybe he's a guy that takes a little bit longer to elevate his level of game to that next level. But yeah, he was a 64% free throw shooter as a freshman. So what is your floor for Jerome Robinson? And I don't mean necessarily
like
in
stats
the entirety
wise, just in
of his career. Yeah, just in general, just with the Clippers.
I'll give him my season outlook right now for floor.
Gotcha.
So my floor for Jerome for the 19-20 season is I'm going to take your 6 minutes. I'm keeping that as the floor. In terms of length, and then I think he's a guy who is going to hit contested shots and not make open shots. I think he's going to be one of those players.
Interesting. Like, we've seen a little bit actually from Landry Shamet through the preseason.
Yeah, one of those guys where you're like, dude, he hits, you know, the guy's right in his face, he's in his back pocket and he hits it, But like Jermichael Green says, these are open shots.
Yeah.
And he maybe misses those. I do think his defense will make people ease up on their criticism of him this year. I'm more high on his defensive side because I kind of think he needs to figure some stuff out shooting-wise. The stroke is there. I just mean in terms of timing, something going on. I hope he has a full, healthy year. But I think his defense is going to make people say, okay, I can see what William Updike is talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Stats-wise, I don't even think I can give a stat prediction.
That's fair. That I feel like that was a very reasonable floor.
Yes. Yeah. Ceiling, however, he just hits those open shots and everything else kind of stays the same.
Yeah. I guess my season high would be, you know, maybe he's looking at a robust 8 minutes.
Consistent eight. Not one of those things where it's like, wow, he played 16 minutes and then the next game played zero, which is still an eight average, but like a consistent eight.
Yeah.
You know?
A consistent eight.
It seems like you're leaning towards a consistent six.
Consistent eight.
Okay. Consistent eight.
I think this is a ceiling for the season. Consistent eight. I'd like to see that 3-point percentage obviously way up. Let's say 37, 38.
Yeah, 37 and a half seems like I would love that.
And I'd like to see him converting more from the floor. And he has obviously been working on that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if he was able to provide a solid 8 minutes for this Clippers squad.
How many threes per game
attempted? In 8 minutes, I'd hope to see three attempts?
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Which would mean he's getting the ball kind of a lot.
But when he's out there, they make an effort to get him the ball.
Yeah.
When he plays, Doc said it, he believes in his shooting. When he plays, they're kind of trying to give him the ball to get into a rhythm.
Yes. And I think on the other side of the floor, you know, he's able to just really realize that if he, you know, he has the perfect model for a player who's carved out a great career, even when shooting and scoring isn't necessarily happening for you.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
Patrick Beverley. So I think that, like, yeah, on the other end of the floor, just being able to provide that value, defend well, not get lost in pick and roll, yep. Not get cut, that'd be really, really solid. Will he get enough time to, like, develop the comfortability or the time to do that? I mean, I don't know. I would say right now, I thought that he looked pretty good tonight in the scrimmage. But while I'm on Jerome Robinson Island, I do feel like the market is a little bit volatile.
Well, if you would like to join William Updike on Jerome Robinson Island, give him a shout.
Yeah.
At Will Updike. Coming up after this, we are going to be talking that open practice that he just mentioned. But first, I want to give a shout out to Manscaped, the number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com.
Wow.
Open practice talk.
Yeah.
That was both of our first open practices.
It was. I wasn't really sure what to expect.
Yeah, and it was fun. They did a 10-minute scrimmage.
Yeah.
There was two 10-minute halves, $10 wines, which seemed like a fair price, given the Galen Center.
Dude, that's what you pay for a glass of wine.
What few tangible things do you feel comfortable saying you took away in terms of play style? Because there's a bunch of fun stuff we can talk about. But was there anything truly tangible that you took away from watching the open practice?
I'm less worried about transition play when Kawhi is on the floor.
I second that.
I realized that it was a scrimmage, but yeah, it's been one of those things that has been troubling to me through even just the preseason, which once again, I know I shouldn't be reading too much into it, but it just was a problem last year.
There's nothing else going on right now.
Yeah, and it just was a problem last year. But seeing Kawhi out there...
I have the note that Kawhi looked like the elder statesman of the scrimmage, and I don't mean that in a physical sense. I mean that when he had the ball during the scrimmage, it felt as if the entire thing was revolving around him.
Interesting.
And I mean that in a good way. It's
like, do you mean
he's
that
controlling what happens?
He's commanding the floor
to the nth degree.
Interesting.
It just felt like no matter what was happening, he just knew. It was like how it felt when he played against the Nuggets. when everyone in the stadium was just watching this guy and everyone was kind of just like, oh, this is what we knew. Kawhi was good.
Yeah.
But when he's running your team's offense or he's the focus, you're right, is when you get that just like, oh, okay, I'm not worried.
Yeah.
At all.
It's, I don't know.
It's incredible how good at basketball he is.
And just, yeah, like, I mean, it's exactly, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's just that the presence that he has when he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then beforehand, Paul George was participating in some 3-on-3.
Yep.
Not all of it, no contact.
He was taking some contact.
He was taking some contact, which is got to have people psyched.
Yeah.
Shot looked great. Paul George is progressing nicely, it seems, based on everything the team has allowed all of us to see. I took away another Kawhi-related thing. Kawhi and Zoo look like they already have some nice chemistry together.
Yes.
Which I was very excited because that is two very big dudes.
Yeah.
And if Kawhi is playing the three and Zoo gets a three switched onto him, that's over.
Yeah.
You know, that. I mean, that's a bucket every single time.
Yeah, well, it that was apparent, too, and, you know, that's something that carried over from that game against the Nuggets. He found Zoo really easily. Of those six assists, I believe all of them were to centers or to people who could spend time at the five, the one fringy one being Jermichael.
Yeah.
So, I think that he's finding the bigs really well. It's interesting. I don't know, and I guess we're just seeing this a little bit more kind of how we figured it would pan out in that, you know, we're just going to run a lot more screens for him.
Yeah.
He's, you know, to sort of...
He decides, kind of.
He kind of decides what's working for him that night, and we can shift around that. But he likewise can take some of the playmaking pressure off some of the other guards. So we can get even, you know, like we can get that usage rate for Lou Will a little bit down through the regular season. Speaking of guards, I'm going to throw a name out there that's at least been a you and I favorite.
Yeah.
Derek Walton Jr.
Guy needs a real contract. Guy needs to be on this team.
Okay, so...
Hit Kawhi with a behind-the-back pass to a three.
It was beautiful.
Wore a hoodie underneath his jersey.
It was beautiful.
I love Walton Jr. Clipper Nation, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I think they have a little Derek Walton Jr. hive going.
Okay.
It's so open.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
Let's say we sign him to the last available roster spot.
Okay.
Would you rather have Derek Walton Jr.?
Okay.
Or have the spot open for, say, Iguodala?
I mean, right now it just feels like I'd rather have Derek Walton Jr.
I got to agree with you. What about...
Iguodala is also choosing, supposedly, between the Lakers and the Clippers when he gets bought out. And, bro, if you got to choose, I don't want you on this team.
Ooh, wow.
Between those two teams?
Yeah.
Why would we want that guy?
Yeah. You're like a ring
chaser. To us, it's a clear choice.
You're a ring chaser.
To Kawhi, it was a clear choice.
Yeah.
Come to us, bro.
Interesting. So you're like, it's scorched earth for you.
Yeah, I'm done.
Wow.
I'm out on... I didn't realize until this moment, but I'm out on him.
What about Derek Walton Jr.?
I'm picking Derek Walton Jr. every time.
Joakim Noah.
Well, Joakim. That'd be nice. Center talk-wise, one of the things I could kind of take away, and I know he's probably going to see some G League time, as we've talked about, still getting used to his body. Fee was getting kind of barked at for losing some defensive battles.
Yes.
There were some times where he was spinning around a little bit. I think Lou barked at him, which is no disrespect to Lou, but if he's barking at you about defense,
okay,
you're probably not playing the best defense.
Just a quick segue, because
Lou is a smart player. I don't mean that like that.
Lou, does it seem like Lou D's up a little harder
Kawhi?
In
yeah, Lou was guarding Kawhi, which was very funny. He stole the ball from him at one point.
Yeah.
Lou stole the ball, got a layup on the other end, and then to answer it, Kawhi just nailed a three in his face, which was great.
Anyways, though, back to feet. Yeah, he just
needs work. He's younger than Terrence, which I think people forget.
See,
I forgot that.
I was just thinking about this today. Yeah, he spent less time at school. Terrence was an upperclassman as soon as he came there, so.
Yeah. Terrence was Fee's vet in school, as he said.
Yeah.
Got a couple. That was. Did you have anything else serious quasi to take away from the scrimmage, other than the fact that Kawhi is fantastic at basketball?
No, I mean, like,
it was fun. Terrence looks big.
Yeah, like, it was like medium speed.
It was Rex and Lou coaching each team, which was cool.
Oh yeah, do we want to talk about the chant?
Yes. So, the Clippers PA announcer. I think his name's Eric Smith. I hear it every single day. I don't know why I remember it. I'm so sorry, Eric Smith. He has. I love his cadence. Mm-hmm. He does a classic shooting two. When someone's shooting two, when someone gets fouled, now they're really trying to get the crowd into, you know, oh, William Updike is fouled, but he makes a shot. He'll be going to the line to complete the 3-point play, and they want everyone to say 3-point play.
Yeah,
I'm against this chant.
Wow, why is that?
It's getting the crowd very hyped up for something that might not happen. So you're getting the crowd hyped up. Say he misses that shot.
Okay.
The crowd is then doubly deflated.
Yeah, I guess.
And are we supposed to be cheering really loud while our offensive guy is shooting a free throw? Because that doesn't seem right.
No, it's immediately before it. It takes the refs a minute to get the ball to them and everybody gets set up.
It's just riling people up for a free throw.
And you're saying
it
one time.
It just might not go in.
I don't not understand this stance.
That's
that you
fair.
Have on this.
I'm not expecting anyone to. Are you pro chant? You're going to sit there and tell me.
Well, I mean, I'm not really pro participation.
Okay, this guy. It just seems like a weird thing to chant. It was kind of catching on, so if other people do it, I mean, do your thing.
Yeah.
But I would just be bummed if I was like, 3-point play, and then just clang. And then you're like, ah, damn it.
Yeah, but the hope.
Look, if we don't need any more hope on this side. Oh, also, PA announcer had a fantastic call. Kawhi Leonard made a shot, got fouled, and he just goes, Kawhi Leonard, he's good, after he made the shot. Would you go to another open practice other than the bag check situation?
Oh yeah, I had to draw my laptop off. I was very.
You're
scared.
About to swing on people.
No,
you would not go to another open practice.
Depends on the situation. I'll go. I don't know.
I would. It was a lot of fun. There was more people than I thought there was going to be.
It was a lot of fun.
There was a kid. Apparently, we were sitting with Party Carl Tart and Payman Benz. There was a kid there who was apparently wearing a Lakers jersey and like trying to troll everybody. And DJ Dents like. Gave him a talking to, and then the kid like chilled out. Shout out DJ Dents. Do you think DJ Dents listens to this podcast?
I doubt it.
I don't think there's any way on earth he does. I hope he does.
He's too busy cutting on the ones and twos to listen to podcasts.
Shout out DJ Dents. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the brand new Clippers City Edition jersey, as well as the William Updike Bowl of the Week. So let's talk jerseys first.
Yeah.
The Clippers debuted their brand new City Edition jerseys on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Wow.
For those of you who haven't seen it, it is all white. There is, for what everyone's saying on Twitter, GTA San Andreas style font over.
Old English.
Old English, excuse me. And that is black. And then the numbers. Then, of course, the names on the back. Inside of the armpit on the left side is a small blue piping. Right side, it's red. I could have those flipped, but they are very, if you don't like them, you could say basic. However, we here on Locked On Clippers respect the fact that it was designed by Mr. Cartoon.
Yeah, I love, and we've talked about this since the court designs earlier. Like, I do like how it's just a reference to something that's so specific to Los Angeles, and it is something that if you don't like it, I could see how the reference would be lost on like most people if we wear these 13 times.
Yeah.
And you catch us on national TV, as you should.
Check us out. Holler. Yeah, it's black and gray and fine line tattoo styles, what Mr. Cartoon 2 does. He is regarded as one of the most influential and best LA tattoo artists, if not tattoo artists in the entire world.
Yeah, I mean, it's an iconic style.
It's the most iconic LA. It's one of the most iconic LA things you could do for a jersey other than like a freeway themed jersey.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
So I really love that aspect of it. I was telling you before we started this pod is that I actually think I am kind of lukewarm to plus on the how they look,
You were more negative on him.
That's fair. It was early in the morning. But I like so much the story behind it. So that is why I think I'm riding for it so hard.
Yeah.
Because I just... it's such an LA thing.
And I get
I say that also as someone who has no tattoos, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just... It's so specific. I don't know... Yeah, without going overly, like... I mean, they're still the Clippers, you know what I mean? So it's not like they can toss some new logo or something really on there right away.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the new stadium, there might be something different jersey-wise.
For sure, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, definitely.
This season's jersey. You know, they can't. You know, they can't go in and out jersey. They already had the jerseys made.
I will say, it's a super big vibe change. I mean that in a bad way from last year's, which I will say, maybe the best looking Clippers jersey ever.
Yes, I mean I'd agree.
That LA, it looks nice. There's some, you know, you can argue. Maybe some of the old San Diego ones are like the red script I actually like. Mm-hmm. But that one from last year, that city edition that's a gorgeous jersey.
Yeah.
I'm into them. Also, the public response, everyone seems hyped on them. When I first saw them, I was worried that the Clippers were going to get dragged.
Yeah.
If I'm being totally honest. But like, I mean, Rachel Nichols was giving them a shout out on The Jump. Like, I did a poll on Twitter and everyone liked them. Like... It's great.
I wish they would have included some of like the map imagery that they've been doing more.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
The court and stuff.
I thought it might, because in my head I was like, oh, it'd be cool if the whole jersey was the map stuff. And I was like, that looks a little G-League-y. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a weird theme night. Are you going to buy one?
I'm not a jersey guy.
I'm not a jersey. Dude, I was telling Payman, if I wear an all-white City edition Clippers jersey, I look like a SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah.
Like, it would be bad.
You have to pick the hair out. Dude, wear it to the game.
Dude, some of these people don't know what my hair looks like picked out, and I'd like to keep it that way. Let's talk about this Updike poll of the week.
Yeah, so...
This was a spicy poll.
We talked about... We did Terrence Mann's season preview yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like we're both high on him.
Yeah.
Now you see...
I'm high on him. I'm high on him for, like, a rookie. I'm not high on him, like, in a vacuum, which I think some people are.
Got you.
For a rookie, I'm like, yeah, I would love it if he got, you know, 6 minutes a game.
For a rookie and for where he was drafted, I'm super
hyped
on him.
And for everyone else on the team, yeah, it's great.
But we were both kind of wrestling with the fact of, like, but how many minutes?
How much is he actually going to play?
Yeah. And how much specifically would you want to see him play?
Yeah.
And all things considered, like in a healthy lineup, I went on Twitter and asked what people thought. And the options were around 5 minutes.
Okay.
Which I think is...
I love that. That's my choice.
Is fine. 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then greater than 12. Because 12 to me is a lot.
I like to say it like this. If you say 12 minutes, imagine them playing that entire quarter, and if you're happy with them playing.
Yeah, yeah. For one full quarter.
Yeah.
So.
What's the breakdown of these results?
All right, so around 5 minutes was surprisingly the lowest number.
That's not surprising.
People said five. That was 5% of the votes.
That's not surprising.
75% of people wanted to see Terrence Mann play 5 to 10 minutes, which I think is...
75%?
Reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, like, it's reasonable. I could maybe see it, especially if you consider the minutes with the load management stuff or during the stretch that Paul George will be out. He could certainly see an uptick in minutes there.
I think it's five.
I don't think we see him starting, but...
I think it's 5 to 10, but never more than 8. If that makes sense. That's a dick. I feel like it's a dick. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And then the remaining 20% of people wanted to see more than 12 minutes.
That's wild.
Which...
I do not want to see that.
Is interesting. I think, though...
15 minutes a game?
Yeah, I think if...
Whose minutes is he taking?
So therein is what's interesting to me.
Bev and Luz?
I mean, even if you're considering him more than 5 minutes, so that's, you know, 5 minutes that you'd rather have... Which guard not on the floor? Magruder?
I haven't seen a lot of him this preseason, so maybe.
Landry Shamet?
No.
Patrick Beverley?
No.
Lou Williams?
Also, no.
Derek Walton Jr.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
If he's taking Walton Jr. minutes.
I don't think there's any Walton Jr. minutes to be taken, but yeah.
Fair, just in this theoretical.
Jerome's the only person who I'm okay with him maybe taking minutes from.
And I think
which
that
I understand are fighting words in the Updike household.
But I do see that that is the most realistic outlook of the minutes that he would be absorbing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's not taking like Mo's minutes. I know Mo's not a guard, but like he's also on the bench. So I'm kind of lumping. I'm putting all bench people in terms of
for sure,
stuff.
For sure. Well, and I think Mo is a fair argument because like we have so many damn forwards that you know like.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I mean,
speaking of forward, shout out Swaggy PP today at the open practice.
He looked great.
Dude looked great. Continues to make us eat our words, which I'm very happy about.
You hear that people mistake him for LeBron?
I don't get that.
I don't get it either.
That just sounds like
but
people
I love
being
it.
Chill with other people thinking they're kind of racist would be my best thought. Like, I like that he rolls with it sometimes.
But yeah, anyways, I think that those are the most likely minutes that he could soak up, being Jerome Robinson's minutes.
Are you in that under five range? Are you in that five to ten? Everyone's healthy.
Everyone is healthy, I mean, I think 5-6 minutes is really good.
Sounds like you're in the 5 to 10 range. 6 is more than 5.
What I'd like to see, yeah, I'd like to see 6 minutes.
5 to 8 is where I'm at.
Yeah,
so 5
we're,
to 8.
We're green with,
but
everyone.
Never more than 7. I'm terrible to do these questions for. No, I mean I'm into it. I'm really excited to see.
Something is going wrong though. Like if everyone's healthy, to me, something is going wrong. If he's playing more than 8 minutes,
yeah.
I mean that means that somebody is underperforming, and we're gonna have to readjust
for sure. I'm really excited to see what happens in the game against the Mavs.
Yes.
Because everyone's playing that is healthy per Doc.
Yeah.
There's going to be some interesting matchups in that. That about wraps it up for us.
Well, I mean, that'll do it.
For tomorrow's episode, which will be Thursday's episode.
It's going to be all graphs. I'm going to explain to you what's on the X and Y vertices of the graphs.
And if you think there's only two axes, you don't know what this is. Now, we're going to be previewing the actually pretty exciting sounding matchup against the Mavs.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I love it.
We're going to see some Zoo and some real action against maybe a former Clipper great, Boban. We're going to see Terrence Mann, maybe D up against Luka Doncic.
Who knows?
Which will be interesting. We're going to have a Thirsty Thursday and a season preview of Ivica Zubats.
Mm-hmm.
Also, next week, we might have some Parle Cardi Tart. Parle Party Carl Tart. It's a hard thing to say.
I like that you took a break and then still
mess
it
up. No, Party Carl Tart is going to come through next week. That's going to be a good time. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I've been William the Opinion Updike.
Thanks for listening.